You think God's going to bless anybody who deliberately and willfully violates His call? Listen, a call from God is a personal, divine, supernatural invitation from the Godhead. And you're going to tell Him what you're going to do, what you're not going to do? That is man's most foolish mistake, to say no to God.
You probably won't see a surgeon in the operating room dressed like a soccer goalkeeper, or a goalie in front of the net with latex gloves and a scalpel. Well, to draw a parallel, the Christian's conduct should be in keeping with who Jesus is. Today on In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley, he outlines essential steps for walking worthy of your calling.
If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4, what Paul is going to do in these next few chapters is tell us how we ought to walk. He's told us who we are, what we have in Christ. And so, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, and you do it in this light, with all humility and gentleness and patience, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love." So I want us to look at two things here. First of all, what our calling is, and second, as he says here, our walk. So look, if you will, first of all, and let's look in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, and I want you to see what he says about this calling of ours, and we'll explain what the calling is in a moment. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a," what? "Of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession." So this calling of ours is a heavenly calling. All right, turn back over to 2 Timothy, just sort of working a little bit of this into your thinking here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says something else about our calling. And let's begin in verse 8. He says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with" what kind of a calling? A holy calling. So he says it's a heavenly calling, it's a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. And we saw through these first three chapters that one of the key phrases here is according to God's purpose and according to His good pleasure, that you and I are part of the unfolding revelation of God's great purpose on earth and His great purpose in life. All right, something he says in Romans chapter 11, look there for a moment about our calling. He says in this 11th chapter something that I think is very significant. He's talking here primarily about the nation of Israel in 9, 10, and 11. But in verse 29, he says, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." That is, when God calls, you and I cannot change that. And He has issued a call to every man to be saved, and He issues specific personal calls to all of us in some areas of our life. And when He does, He says it's irrevocable. That is, it doesn't change it. Whatever God's calling is, it's irrevocable. It does not mean that a man will always do the same thing all of his life, but he better be sure that when he changes that vocation, he is following God's further call in his life. God doesn't call you and decide, "No, I don't want you." God never says that. When He gives us a call, what we need to remember is that somebody says, "Well, you know, I felt God calling me, but I was trying to decide whether I was going to respond or not." You mean to tell me that you were telling God that you were going to decide whether you were going to answer His call or not? Isn't that ridiculous? I used to teach in a Bible Institute where most of the fellows there were men who felt that they were called earlier in life, but for a variety of reasons, they refused God's call. And many of them answered the call in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and some later than that. And they were in the Bible Institute there, training to be pastors, quick to tell you that God called some of them. I can remember them giving testimonies oftentimes in chapel. He called some when they were 12 and 15 and 21 and 25. Most of them were called either in their teens or their early 20s and said no to God. And so what did he do? He just put them on the shelf till they got sick and tired of shelf living and got back in the will of God. But look at the years of their life they had wasted because you, listen, you may attempt to make up those years if God called you in the ministry and you said, no, you know, this is Satan's deception. No, I'll tell you what you do. You be a businessman, make lots of money and give it to God and let somebody else do the preaching. I've never known a man yet that God called to preach, got in business and made piles of money and gave it to God. You think God's going to bless anybody who deliberately and willfully violates His call? Listen, a call from God is a personal, divine, supernatural invitation from the Godhead. And you're going to tell Him what you're going to do, what you're not going to do? That is man's most foolish mistake, to say no to God. But did you know there are probably more people who are not in the ministry who've been called than there are in the ministry who've been called, and multitudes of them getting out all the time, not because God has revoked His call, but because they don't like the situation they're in. You see, you know what we do? We play around with God like He's another fella. And we talk about God like He's a grandfather. We decide, well, yes, I'm going to be obedient. No, I'm not. And I'm thinking about it, God. I'll consider what You've told me. You know what that says to me? We don't have any earthly idea who this is. We're talking about God, whose name was so holy, they oftentimes wouldn't even say His name. It was too holy. And we just talk about Him like it was Tom, Dick, Harry, God, and Jesus. He says He's issued holy callings, heavenly callings, irrevocable callings to us. And we act like, well, you know, He just issues the call and we're the ones who decide whether we're going to do it or not. Well, the decision is ultimately up to us. But I'm going to tell you the whole response is sin. I've decided whether I'm going to listen or not, whether I'm going to be obedient or not. I want to tell you that's dangerous business. Fooling around with God, and that's what it is. Playing around with holiness is like playing around with dynamite. You keep playing around with it and you're going to get blown to bits. You just play around with God and decide what you're going to do and what you're not going to do and just sort of fiddle around with the will of God. Paul said God's call is heavenly, it's holy, and it's irrevocable. 2 Peter, if you'll look there for a moment, chapter 1. Listen to what he says. Something else about it. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. He says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. Make it a matter of importance to you to make certain about His calling and choosing you. You know what he's saying? He's saying you need to be very, very clear about God's calling your life and about His choosing you. Now, I have been referring to different calls here, but I want to come down to what Paul is really saying here. So if you'll turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, what kind of calling are we talking about in the first place? What is Paul referring to here? Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 2. He says in his greeting to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by what? Saints by what? Calling. That means all of us were called to be the saints of God. Look back over in Ephesians chapter 1 now in verse 18. You remember this prayer that Paul has prayed for us here? He says in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. He says, man, I want your eyes to be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of this calling from God. That's God's calling in your life. He says, I want you to know what hope you have in this calling. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, we saw in verse 4, he said, just as He chose us in Him, that was an aorist tense. That is, God made a decision, He made a choice, He called us. He chose us in Him, and having made the choice, He issued the call for us to be saved. Aorist tense, He did it once. The same thing is true here. When He says, verse chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been, listen, past tense, which you have been called. That is, again an aorist. You have been called once and for all. Once, that's it. God issues the call. He doesn't decide, I think I'll call them. No, I won't. God issues the call in our life. Our first call is the call to salvation, followed by, and a part of that call is the call to sainthood. Because you see, if we're called to be saved, we're likewise called to live out that salvation experience and to walk as saints. So when he says here in chapter 4, verse 1, I beseech you or entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. It is a call to salvation, a call to sainthood. And not only that, he says, he has equipped us to live it. Indwelt by the Holy Spirit, energized by the Holy Spirit, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit. The riches of God's grace, riches and wealth are ours because of our position in Christ. Sealed with protection from God. So we're saints, we're to live like saints. So he says now on the basis of that, here's the way you and I to walk. I want you to look at this word. He says, I entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Now, what does he mean by the word worthy here? Here's what that means. The word worthy here means that you and I are to walk in a manner that has weight to it. Now, watch this. What he's saying in essence and for all practicality is that my walk is to match up with who I am. And my walk is to match up with what I profess. What he is saying in essence is what you and I have heard 1,000 times. We ought to practice what we preach or what we profess. Now somebody says, yeah, I've tried, but I can't. That's unscriptural. Let me ask you something. Why didn't Paul start off this whole book by saying, think about this for a moment. Why didn't Paul start off the book by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints here at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. You know why I didn't do that? Because he knew it'd be a total flop. That's why he spent 3 whole chapters saying, look who you are in Christ. Now that you see it, let your walk have weight to it. Let your walk leave an impress, an imprint. Let your walk be worthy. Let it weigh as much as your calling. Your calling is to sainthood, so my walk is to be saintly. It is to be compatible. It is to be consistent. It is to be in harmony with who I am. That's how we're to walk. Now, I want you to notice what he says about that. He says, this is the spirit in which I'm to do it. He says, with all humility. As somebody said, the first 3 qualities that should be found in a Christian are humility, humility, and humility. Totally dependent upon God. He says, this walk of ours is to be in humility. Let me ask you a question. Why is it to be done in humility? Listen, if I understand chapters 1-3 and realize it is, listen, in light of who we are, by the gift of God's grace, that in itself will humble me, knowing that I was chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. That should humble us. Sealed by the Holy Spirit should humble us. Rich in Christ Jesus should humble us. Enlightened by the Holy Spirit. You see, if you go through chapters 1-3, all 3 chapters ought to bring us to humility before Almighty God in thanksgiving and praise and honor. In the spirit of humility, he says, we're to walk in a manner worthy of who we are. Listen, humility and gentleness. When I recognize who I am in Christ Jesus and I am totally dependent upon God, I'm going to be gentle and kind toward other people. He says, with patience, walking it with patience. You see, we're not going to get from childhood to adulthood spiritually overnight. We grow in the spiritual life. We learn to walk the saintly life. Let's go back to chapter 1. Let me show you something here. Look in verse 3 at what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So I have everything I need. Verse 4 says, I was chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Verse 5 says that you and I have been predestined to adoption. Verse 6 says that we've been accepted in the Beloved. Verse 7 says we've been redeemed by His blood. It also says we've been forgiven. It also says it all happened according to the riches of His grace. It also says that that grace was lavished upon us. It says also in verse 9 that the mystery of His will has been made known to us. He says again that we have obtained an inheritance in verse 11. He says in verse 13 that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In verse 14, it says we've been given a pledge of our inheritance. In verse 15 all the way through 23 is this tremendous prayer in our behalf that all of God, that God's willing to do. Then He reminds us who we were and how we've been saved by God's grace. And He says, now we've been seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, been lifted up. He says in verse 10, we're the workmanship of Almighty God, created in Christ Jesus as saints for good works. He says in verse 11 in that passage, remember what you used to be, but look what God's done to you. In verse 16, we've been reconciled to Him. The war is over. We've become members of the household of God, fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. We've been built up together in the body. And then beginning in chapter 3, He says concerning this mystery that you and I have been privileged to understand what the mystery is, and that you and I are a part of this great body through whom God is revealing to angels His great eternal purpose in life. He says in verse 12 that you and I have access to Him through faith. He says that Christ is dwelling in us in verse 17, that we are being rooted and grounded in love, we are abounding, comprehending with all the saints the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. We are knowing the love of Christ, and we serve a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. That's who we are. That's what we possess. Now, He says on the basis of that, walk in the spirit of humility, in the spirit of gentleness, in the spirit, notice how He says it, in the spirit of gentleness, in the spirit of humility, forbearing one another in love, showing that as we walk on the basis of who we are. You and I are to walk saintly lives. Anything other is inconsistent with who we are in Christ Jesus. Every single one of us has a holy, personal, divine, supernatural, holy calling from God. We've been equipped to live it. Now He's going to tell us how we're to do it, but He begins by saying it is to be done in the spirit of humility, gentleness, patience, showing forbearance one to the other. And if you can just remember this one simple thing, that our walk is to have this kind of weight to it, that when you and I take a step in our home, in our business, in our church, among our friends, that our walk is to leave some footprints. And those footprints are to bear the image of a saint. You see, think about this. Suppose when you walk into your office tomorrow morning, you do your business, whatever's going on, and let's say, for example, you had to leave a little bit early. I wonder how many folks in your office would get together if they agreed to and say, you know, boy, there's something special about that guy. I don't know what it is, but there's just something about him, or there's just something about, I can't quite put my fingers on it, there's something about that person. That would be better than the honor of being the president of the United States. You know why? It says that your walk has weight to it, and the weight of your walk is making its impression, not in sand or concrete, but in the spirits of other people. And I want to ask you tonight, how weighty do you think your walk is now? Is your walk weighty enough that people sort of have to evaluate your life? You see, listen, if your life and mine can be simply explained as just another fellow, just another girl, there's something dramatically missing within us. The weight of our walk, should leave others at least
thinking about what it is about us that is, listen, sacredly different from others. Sacredly different from others.
You're listening to In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. Does your life make a positive impact for Jesus Christ? If you're a believer, you need to ask yourself that question every day. Surrender to God's work in your life as He molds and shapes you into the image of His Son, and therefore an effective representative of the gospel. If you'd like some help matching your life to your faith, make some time to visit intouch.org. You'll find a variety of resources to encourage your growth as a follower of Christ. And that's where you can order a copy of the complete message, Walking Worthy of Your Calling. This message is also available as part of Dr. Stanley's teaching set on the book of Ephesians, Discovering Our True Identity. Our web address again is intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. You can also write to us at In Touch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. If you're a Christian, your life has been transformed. Are you living a transformed life? Today's Moment with Charles Stanley is coming up.
Do you take sermon notes on the back of your bulletin, jot scripture references on the offering envelope? Start keeping things in one place, one organized place, with the In Touch Note Takers Journal. This leather, soft journal contains 150 pages for taking notes and includes Dr. Stanley's 30 life principles. Find everything in one convenient place with the In Touch Note Takers Journal. Call toll-free 1-800-INTOUCH or visit intouch.org.
When you don't understand the twists and turns of life, you can know that God has a plan for you.
You and I can face difficult times when we know that He's in absolute control and when we know that He's going to meet all of our needs.
In Dr. Charles Stanley's book, God Has a Plan for Your Life, you'll learn to find God's unique will for you. God Has a Plan for Your Life is in paperback at intouch.org or 1-800-INTOUCH.
How much of your life is secular? If you're a Christian, the answer should be zero. Here's A Moment with Charles Stanley.
If you've been saved by the grace of God, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you belong to the family of God, you're not your own, you're bought with a price, you've been sealed unto the day of redemption, your inheritance is in heaven, and we're to be conformed to the likeness of Christ, and we're reflecting Him. How can anything in my life be secular? Can't be. And you know what the church has done? We've allowed the world to say, now look, you come to work at 9 o'clock, this is business. You can go to church all you want to on Sunday. Oh, no. We are saints in the church house, saints in the market, saints in the schoolroom, saints, 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 saints we are. Whatever we may be doing, we are saints first. We've let the world tell us, you keep your religion in the church house and you make money for me over here in my business. Has nothing to do with what Scripture teaches. Saints is what we are.
Find helpful resources for learning how to live the Christian life all the time at intouch.org. A replay of today's message is available at our website. You can also find other messages in our radio archives or download a podcast to take with you. Find all this and more at intouch.org. And if today's program has prompted you to take a new look at how you could share the grace of God with others, please let us know. Next time, Dr. Stanley continues his study of Ephesians. Learn to establish a worthy walk founded in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I hope you'll join us next weekend for In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through your faithful prayers and gifts.